Dobbs and Pastor Cox are both my cousins. Actually, I have four cousins that pastor in Florida, and they all got together one day and said, "You ain't pastoring here. You're going on the other side of the globe." Well, me and my wife and kids, we're all in Tennessee now. We're using that as a base until we finish our furlough, and they have lots of car shows in Tennessee. And one day a preacher was driving down the road with his wife, and they were looking at all these cars, fancy cars. They got to all these expensive Lamborghinis and Porsches and Camaros and stuff, and the wife was looking at all of it, and she said, "You know, honey, if you really loved me, you'd get me something that goes from 0 to 200 in about 60 seconds flat." And he pulled over into a Walmart, and he went in for a little bit. He came back out with a bag. He said, "Here, honey, I got you something that goes from 0 to 200 in 60 seconds flat. It's a scale." Well, if you have your Bibles, let's open them, please, to two places. One is Ezekiel chapter number 8. And when you find find Ezekiel chapter 8, if you would, please put your finger there, put something there, and then turn to the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter number 1. When you get to 1 John, if you would, please, let's stand in honor of reading God's word. 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning. We just thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us, Lord. We want to thank you first and foremost for making your way up that hill and shedding your blood upon the cross of Calvary. Lord, you did all of that. You went through all of that because you looked beyond the cross and you saw me and you thought I was worth it. And Lord, I thank you so much for that. And Lord, this morning I ask you to do what I cannot do, and that is to speak to the hearts of each and every person here through your word, Lord. I pray, Lord, when we leave this place, Lord, we leave with a closer walk with you, Lord. I ask all this for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the book of 1 John is thank you, may be seated. It's going to keep you here for the whole sermon. The book of 1 John is a very interesting book. It opens here with the word of life, the word of God. You know, this book right here is Jesus Christ in written form. And the book of 1 John is divided up. The first two chapters talk about the light of God, an experience in the light of God. Of course, you have in verse number 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." It goes on and on about the light of God. The next two chapters talk about the love of God. And you have verses like, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knoweth him not." And then you get to the last chapter, and it talks about the life of God. And you have verses like, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." You get down to the very last verse of the book, and it almost doesn't fit with the rest of the book. The verse says, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Well, I mean, it just doesn't seem to fit with the rest of the book. I mean, the light of God, the love of God, the life of God, and keep yourself from idols? Well, the Holy Spirit knew what he's talking about. And you know, idols will keep you from the light. Idols will keep you from the love. Idols will keep you from the life of God. The Bible says over in the book of Colossians that covetousness is idolatry. Say, "I don't have any idols. I don't have any statues in my house." Well, the Bible says covetousness is idolatry. Not is like idolatry, but it is idolatry. What is covetousness? Covetousness is wanting anything else besides the Lord. It's wanting anything else besides what God has for your life. David said it this way, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I shall not want anything else besides the Lord. I shall not want anything else the Lord has for me in my life. Keep your place in 1 John. We'll come back to it. But over in Ezekiel chapter number 8, let's look at verse number 5. The Bible says, "Then he said unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up my eyes the way towards the north, and behold, the northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry." God showed Ezekiel here something that provoked him to jealousy. It was an idol that was erected in front of the temple. You realize that we serve a jealous God? I've seen something on YouTube about on an Oprah Winfrey show where she brought one of her gurus in there and was telling about the New Age life and stuff. And a lady in the audience, you know, when they passed the mic around, she got a hold of the mic and she said, "No, the Bible says Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the only way. No man cometh to the Father but through me." And Oprah said, "I grew up in a Baptist church. I sang in the choir. One day a preacher came through and he said that my God was a jealous God, and that turned me off from that point on. I can't possibly imagine serving a God who is jealous." Well, you know, there's a bad jealousy and there's a good jealousy. I'm glad my God's jealous over me. You know, I'm jealous over my children. I'm jealous over my wife. There's a good type of jealousy to have. I don't want the world getting into my children's head. I don't want the devil messing up my children's life. I'm jealous over them. I want them to have a good, godly Christian life. God is a jealous God. And he looks at this idol that sat right there in front of the temple, and he said, "I'm jealous over that thing." You know, I can't help to think the temple there is a picture of us. We are the temple of God. And God said to Ezekiel, let me show you some things. He said in verse number 6, he said, "Furthermore unto me, son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary. But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations." He said, "I'm going to show you something greater than this. A greater abomination than this idol here." Verse number 7, he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. And he said unto me, "Son of man, dig now in the wall." And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, "Go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here." So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping thing, and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about, and there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jazaniah the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then he said unto me, "Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth." You know, when you have an image in front of you, by the way, the devil will give you any kind of idol. An idol is something that wedges its way in between you and God. And the devil has idols for all of us. Man, America's filled with idols. We even have an American idol. He has an idol for you. He has something for you that will provoke God to jealousy. And the first thing that this does in your life, in your temple, is it affects your mind. Yeah. It affects the chambers of imagery. Yeah. You get to thinking about it. You get to dwelling about it. Your thoughts, your incense are not going up to God anymore, but your thoughts are on this thing that's come between you and God. You know, the devil is unleashing an all-out war on our minds. That's where the battle is today. Look what he says in verse number 13. He said also unto me, "Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do." He's going to show him something even worse than this. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was towards the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. When you have this image in front of you, the first thing it affects is your mind. The next thing it affects is your emotions. Your emotions are weeping for Tammuz. I mean, this false god. And just look at America today. the liberal left and the people in America, their minds have been affected.
Right.
And what do we see happen next? Their emotions.
Right.
Man, angry mobs.
Yes. Yeah.
Look at verse number 15. Then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord's, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs towards the temple of the Lord, and their faces towards the east, and they worshiped the sun towards the east. You put this idol in front of the temple, the first thing it's going to affect is your mind. Then it's going to affect your emotions.
Yes.
And then it's going to affect your body.
Yes.
By the way, God wants your body.
Sure.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Yes.
God is a spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and truth. God is a spirit, and he's looking for a body.
Right.
God will never get your body until he's got your heart. He'll never get your heart until you've made up your mind. You'll never make up your mind as long as there's an idol sitting in front of that temple. I opened up in 1 John, you could turn back there, the first verse. This is what you should have in front of the temple. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon, and which our hands have handled, of the word of life, the Bible. Man, when you knock down that idol and you replace it with the Word of God and you start to dwell upon that and you set your affections upon that and you get into that and you start meditating on it and studying it out. And by the way, you want to be approved of God, you must study His Word.
Amen.
And you get to reading it and you get saturated with it. The first thing it's going to affect is your mind. The lights will come on. I saw the light, I saw the light, no more darkness, no more night. When I got engaged into this book right here, the lights came on. I started seeing the world in a biblical perspective. I started to understand the way I should go and the way I should not go. I understood how to be a good father, how to be a good husband, how to be a good Christian, how to be a good citizen. Why? Because this book turns the lights on. Then it won't just affect your mind, but you'll experience the love of God. That's your emotions. And your emotions get caught up. Your mind makes the decision. Your heart follows. God wants your heart. He says in the book of Proverbs, my son, give me thine heart. Well, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? How could I give God my heart? Well, let me tell you something. God will not change your mind. He made us creatures of free will. He will not change our mind. I cannot change my heart. I can't change it. But when I make up my mind, just like Joshua did, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made a decision. When I make up my mind, God reaches down from heaven and softens my heart. When I make up my mind, my heart follows. And where my heart goes, here comes the body. That's when you get into the last chapter of the book of 1 John. It's all about the life. It's all about the life. Hey, you know why I'm over in Hawaii reaching people who could never give back? I mean, left mom and dad, left grandma and grandpa. Halfway across the globe. You know why I did all that? Man, because I love him.
Amen.
And you know why I love him? Because he first loved me.
Amen.
How about you? How about your temple? What's in front of it? What are you worshiping today? You have an idol, or do you have the Word of God?
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. Lord, I pray as we go our separate ways, Lord, that we'll, Lord, have you first on our thoughts, Lord. We get in your book, and we give you our hearts. And Lord, you'll take our bodies for your glory and your honor. Lord, we ask all this in Jesus' name, amen.